that I can call it home. Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 9. Keep your Bibles handy. Want to go to a few places tonight. Want to share with you a thought. Matthew chapter 9. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 35. Stay with me a few moments. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to look back in your Bibles a moment. I want you to look at verse 36. And I want to share with you a thought or two on this thought. He said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Sometimes we think of compassion, and when people is compassionate, we think of the word as sometimes people being weak, gullible, and soft. But the word means to have an inward yearning, having mercy, wanting to show grace. That means showing things to people that owes you, that can give you nothing back. It means doing it because there's a yearning inside. There's a desire inside. And so therefore, it's from, sometimes we say something to the phrase like, from the bottom of my heart. That means that we've yearned to do that. We wanted to do that from the depths of our heart. And I want to share with you a thought or two on being compassionate. I want you to listen to me a moment. When we look at Jesus, the Bible tells us several times that he was moved with compassion. You would think that there's a lot of people that has a lot of compassion. But one of the dangers that we have in this last days is people shall be lovers of what? The reason why that we are not compassionate is because we love ourselves too much. We love ourselves, our own families, and when it gets outside the scopes of our own family, then we just really lose compassion. We don't want to go the extra mile. We don't want to do the things. But Jesus was different. He was God. And therefore, you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Sometimes when we look in the Bible and you see the Old Testament, you think, boy, God is to be feared, and he is to be feared. And we preach this morning, one day when Jesus is judged, it's going to be a terrible time when people stand before Jesus. But when you look at Jesus and see his love and compassion that he had for people, what he was doing was he was representing God. And he saw. And yes, he was all the things that God was, holy and just and all the things, and one day would be full of wrath. But he loved, had mercy, had grace. He saw people, and it spoke to his heart. He yearned to help them. The Bible says here that he went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. Can you imagine sometimes you've seen them coming into cities and they would be a big crowd, and the Bible would describe it as thronging about him, and they'd just be smothering him, wanting him to heal their sick. And there'd be thousands of people sometimes. How do we know? Well, when he fed the multitude, 5,000 men and all the women and children. Another time, 4,000. And so there'd be thousands of people that would gather around him, and yet he would take time. And notice it said he healed all their sicknesses and disease. Taught. Now you got to remember something about Jesus. Let's look at a couple verses if you don't care about Jesus, if you don't mind. Stay with me, flip some places with me in the Bible. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You children, some of you young children, answer this for me. The reason why Jesus, when he was born, he wasn't born in an inn. Where was he born at? Huh? In a manger. Where was a manger at? Anybody know? Anybody know what a stable was back in that time? Huh? It's like a hole in the rock where they get out of the weather. Now, you got to understand, and sometimes you got to remember, this is Son of God. He was sent to this particular woman. God found her suitable to be the vessel that he would come into the world. But now notice when she come to dedicate him to the temple. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. And the Bible says that when they came to offer a sacrifice, they came to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, what that's referring to is Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. That was for only the very poor could offer turtle doves and pigeons. You've got to understand, Jesus grew up in a very poor home. He didn't have much. Even Mary, when she came, all she could do is she didn't bring a lamb. She couldn't afford a lamb. And those that could not afford a lamb could bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. And that's what she came to offer the sacrifice when Jesus was born. Now look on, if you would, in Matthew chapter 8. Back in Matthew chapter 8. I should have had you there when I was over there. But I'm going to turn you a few minutes. Matthew chapter 8. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath what? He didn't have a home. He didn't have a bed. He's born in a manger. He was raised in Joseph and Mary's house, but when he went out into the ministry, he had no place. He just went. And so when you talk about him having compassion, he had some experiences with poor. Not only that, but look, if you would, in John chapter 19. The only thing that the Bible speaks that he owned. John chapter 19. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. It says, then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, for the scripture might be, for that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. The only thing that the Bible ever tells us that Jesus owned was his vesture here and his coat. He didn't have all kinds of possessions. He didn't have all kinds of things. Not only that, but look if you would in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Look if you would in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there, what? Did you realize that Jesus spent a lot of time alone? He would go up to a mountain, he'd spend it alone to pray. There was a time when everybody left him and forsook him. Why did he have compassion? He experienced some things in his life. John chapter 1, verse 11 says he came into his own, and his own received him not. They hated him. Some in his own family hated him. His own people hated him. His own people drew to see a murderer set free. Didn't see a just man set free. Amazing, isn't it? He knew what it was like to be hated, despised, rejected. He also knew what it was like to be tempted. He went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Speaking of Jesus, knows what it says in verse 15. It says, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What was in what? All points. Tempted like we are, yet what? You see, he just didn't understand what we went through. Every single issue that we're ever tempted on, he was tempted on. Yet without sin. Not only that, but also notice the ones that was his, the ones that had his compassion. Their text said that they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. To be scattered was to be left out there and be alone and to be on your own. And the Bible said he had compassion for those who were scattered. Not only for those who were scattered, look if you would in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want to turn you a few places. I want to bring something out of all this. Mark chapter 5. Notice if you would in verse number one. The Bible says, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. Now, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, you all remember this guy was named Legion. Can you imagine? Everybody else said, let's go and leave him alone. Not Jesus. He not only was concerned about these scattered ones, he was also concerned about the sinners.
When they brought the woman caught in adultery, he had compassion for her. Whenever the woman came that was a harlot that wiped his feet with her hair, and Simon, the owner of the house, once sent her away, Jesus had compassion on her. He had compassion for sinners.
Amen.
Not only that, but also for those who were sick. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter 14. Well, we read text. I'll just keep it there. He would go places and heal every disease, every sickness. The Bible tells us several times that he would have compassion. Even whenever he saw a woman coming in name with a possession with her son in the coffin, he had compassion on her, and he stopped a funeral and told her son to sit up. You know why he had compassion? He had compassion for suffering ones. He had compassion for those who were seeking the Lord. The woman with an issue of blood, as he was going through to heal Jairus' daughter, she touched the hem of his garment, and he stopped. And he had compassion. We don't naturally have compassion, folks. Our flesh leads us to love ourselves, to be selfish. Most people has a real hard time finding compassion. Let somebody else do it. It's somebody else's problem, not Jesus. Look at his disciples. Look in Luke chapter number 9. This is the only gospel you'll find this story. A lot of times people haven't even read or thought about it for a little bit. Luke chapter number 9. Look, if you would, in verse number 51. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went, entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was set as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, notice this, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? They wouldn't let Jesus stop and do it. And James and John said, Lord, let us just give us permission. We're going to call fire down and just destroy them, like Elijah did. Look what Jesus told them. Verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Is our spirit in the flesh to not have compassion? We have to fight the flesh to be able to have compassion. But look on. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter 6, real quick. Mark chapter 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 34. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with what? Compassion toward them, because they were as sheep having not a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about in the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. He said, feed them. Disciples said, get rid of them. When Jesus came, little children started coming to him. You know what the disciples said? Send him away. They're agitating him. He's got better things to do than mess with these children. And Jesus let them know that such was his kingdom of God. Amen. Remember whenever the other day I preached on the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman that had a daughter vexed with the devil? Remember when she come crying out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Remember what the disciples did? Send her away. Go away. You know why? They hadn't learned to have compassion. Compassion is not something that we naturally have. You know why Jesus had it? Because he was God. But when we get saved, we have the capability of having compassion. That's how, if you do not have compassion, you can't really be in the ministry. The problem with the ministry today is too many people are in the ministry that has no compassion.
Right. Amen.
And they do more harm. You know what's wrong with churches? We have no compassion, and what we do is we turn more people away than we invite in. You know why? Because they don't see compassion. I've got after a time or two, I've got after people, sometimes somebody would come and sit in their seat and they would come and run them off. I say, what's wrong with you? Or they would say something harsh. I know some of the ones from up north where Dad used to pastor. Had a lady in their church. Somebody come walking in a pair of pants. She would say something rude to them. Like somehow they'd set her up to be guardian of the building. And that she had to make that judgment. Some people left and never came back. That don't show God. Compassion shows the Lord. That's why, you know, Brother Mitch, he told me, he said, there's something unusual with your church. He said, I felt love and compassion. I said, a lot of those babies you saw walking up down was adopted, and they're feeding them, they're taking care of them, and they're getting nothing in return. People living in their houses, being a part of their families and lives. Let somebody else take care of it. Somebody's got to have compassion. Compassion is not treating them mean and hateful, but showing them something of the love of God. And it draws people. We get too caught up in our own lives, in our own little circles. We can't step out of them. We can't have compassion. It's all about us. Oh, I give my children. Good. How about those that has no connection with you? And I agree, there is a lot of kind people, but you got to use wisdom and discernment. I don't believe God would have us to throw money away to people that's just conning us out of money. But I believe when we're able to help somebody, they all see compassion. Jesus wanted to use, and he used the example and illustration of the Good Samaritan when the Jews thought that they were way up here. He said, what kind of compassion do you have? Let me tell you a story about your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Let me tell you who your neighbor is. When the priest came, he went to the other side of the road. You know the priest in your temples? talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And you know what happened? Whenever the Levite come, you know what he did? He went to the other side of the road. And you know that Samaritan that you think is a dog, that you wouldn't give the time of day, the ones that his disciples, whenever he said, I must needs go through Samaria, and he sat and talking to a woman in the well, and they come and they look down their nose at her because she was a Samaritan. But Jesus knew what she needed. And look here. You know who was her neighbor? The Samaritan that stopped to help this guy. Took money out of his own pocket, took him to the inn, paid for him to be taken care of. The prodigal son was an example that Jesus gave of compassion. You see, when Jesus looked upon the harvest, and boy, I tell you what, I feel convicted sometimes because I get so busy in life. Jesus looked upon the harvest. He had pity on them. The Bible says because they fainted and was weary. There's a lot of people falling by the wayside. Not only that, but he also saw the potential they had. The Bible says there was plenteous. A lot of them. And you know what? Had not somebody had compassion on me, I might have fell by the wayside. My life might have been destroyed. But somebody cared. Some of you. I know Tony there. He was raised in a foster home. Somebody had compassion on him. Aren't you glad somebody picked up you and your brothers? Black lady up here, how many children did she end up having? Over 200 children. Aren't you glad she cared enough for you? Some of the rest of you have been picked up, brought in. Somebody cared for you. Some of you have got step parents that have stepped up and treated you just like your own. Didn't have to. They did. They loved you. Show compassion. Jesus saw their potential, but he also saw their problem. If nobody had compassion on them, Brother Porter, they're going to die and go to hell. He knew that. Disciples, don't bother us. Go away. Jesus said, I can't leave them. I can't let it go. I see where they're going. I care too much to see that happen. And see, he knew every one of them. He wrote their name in the book of life. He knew all about them. And you never know which one's going to be pulled out of the gutter and going to be the next evangelist or preacher or pastor that's going to win many people to the Lord. And you know what he told his disciples? He'd pray. You know why? There's power. Pray that the God of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, would send forth laborers. Let me tell you this, and I'll close. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 9. I'll give you this, and I'm going to close. Matthew chapter 9. Three things. He said to his disciples, he said, the Lord of harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now another place he told them to look upon the field. Let me tell you something. Listen to me a minute.
The first thing you've got to do is you've got to look and visualize. Without a vision, people perish. You got to see people for who they are and what they are. When we quit looking upon the fields that's white and ready for harvest, and God convicted me of that, getting so busy, running to and fro, and it seemed like when I get a minute, all I want to do is just sit down and rest. But he said, you got to look. Visualize. Second thing you got to do is pray. You got to agonize. No, Lord, help these people. Agonize in prayer. And you know what? I bet if we got a greater vision, I bet if we got agonizing more in prayer over some people, even though it's late in the game of Jesus coming, I bet we'd see more people walking the aisle. You know what people respond to? Compassion. Compassion is that from the inside giving you a yearning to see something happen, to help someone. Enough that it goes beyond what you want to do. I imagine Jesus a lot of times would like to went over somewhere and sat down and just rested for a while. But when the disciples would lay down to rest, you know what he'd do? He'd go up and pray. Agonize. Then last but not least, evangelize. Go do something about it. Not only visualize, agonize, evangelize. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you. We need to go ahead and we need to take the word of God and continue. And many times we think, well, we're supporting missionaries, but yet there's someone right around us that we need to be their missionary. And sometimes we get so caught up. And you know, I was thinking when I read this thing, I was thinking about the Lord's compassion. But then I got thinking about the disciples' compassion. Then I got thinking about my compassion. And I got thinking about how many times I let my flesh win out the war over my spirit. And where my spirit doesn't have the control to have the compassion I need at times to do the things I need to do. Let's pray that God would make us a more compassionate people. Let's pray, and then we'll have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we ask for forgiveness, dear Heavenly Father, where we fail. God, where we get so self-centered. Lord, this time of year, we think of a little baby being born in the manger, and we think of the gift of God, and we get so caught up in Jesus coming to the world that we forget when he came into the world, all the things he faced, the poverty, the rejection, the loneliness, the hatred, despite. Lord, so much that when they got a chance, they nailed him to a cross and crucified him. So full of hate. And then, dear Heavenly Father, we saw how he had compassion for everybody he met. The hungry, the sick, the diseased, those possessed with devils, the dead. And, dear Heavenly Father, especially the lost. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to rejuvenate that compassion in us. Help us, Lord, to get beyond ourselves. And help us, Lord, to be able to look into the fields that's ripe for harvest. And Lord, may we see souls saved once again, walking the aisle. Forgive us of where we fail you, Lord, and help us and strengthen us to do the things that we need to do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.